Robert Stage and Studio. We're listening to music by David Iwataki from his CD of soundtracks from two films about Japanese-American internment, Harsh Canvas and Infinite Shades of Gray. This track is called Persist. It's an appropriate theme for today's show. I feature two productions created by women who persisted. First up, we'll hear an interview I did on location with Beth Harper. She's the artistic director of Portland Actors Conservatory, who founded the school and theater more than 25 years ago. We'll hear from Harper and also find out about their next production, Good Kids by Naomi Izuka. That show runs April 13th through the 29th at the Shoebox Theater. And in the second part of the show, I feature Gambate, Be Strong, a work created by Chisao Hata and Nikki Najima Lewis that explores Portland's Japanese-American internment history. We'll talk with KBOO volunteer Jenna Yokoyama, who is performing as an actor in the production on April 14th at Lewis and Clark College. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. The Portland Actors Conservatory is producing not only multicultural works, but also young actors, many of color, who go on to contribute to Portland's theater community. The school recently lost their longtime location at the Firehouse Theater. That loss could have closed any arts organization, but the conservatory quickly joined the Artist Repertory Theater Hub of Artists. I talked with artistic director and founder Beth Harper at the Artist Rep Building about her new digs and the upcoming production of Good Kids by Naomi Izuka. I'm here with Beth Harper, artistic director and founder of Portland Actors Conservatory. Hello, Beth.
Hello. How are you?
You want to tell us where we are right now?
Right now, we're at our home at Artist Repertory Theater. That's where we are.
And how long has it been your home?
Since June of last year, 2017.
And for how many years were you at the Firehouse?
25.
So this is a big change.
It's a big change, and it's a big move up for the conservatory, too. To be in this hub is just really exciting for us and really exciting for the students and the collaboration that's happening between organizations and our students getting to hang out with all these professional artists and who have become their mentors. It's just really great.
Well, it's great, but it was a big transition, a big change, which you have survived. Can you tell us just briefly about that moment of having to just really uproot yourself and having to just change completely from 25 years?
Yeah. Well, ultimately, it came down to making a choice between staying there. I always felt I loved being at the Firehouse Theater. It was a historic space, a wonderful space for us, but it was also an island too. And so the bigger desire to be connected, because that is our goal at the conservatory. We're a bridge to the professional world for these students to get into a home that was actually a bridge as opposed to trying to get the bridge to come to us. So here we are, and it's more integrated for us, and that's how that ended up working out.
Well, that's good that it's positive, but honestly, that could have closed many organizations losing a space, and it has.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, especially in this city. Space is hard to come by, and especially one that is set up to be a theater and, you know, meet the needs of theater companies. It's just really, really a difficult thing, I feel, for all artists. Before that event happened and relationally it didn't work out with the city, what is really interesting is that I was already in conversations with Domiso about...
Domiso,
who's the artistic director of the Artist Repertory Theater. Wonderful band.
Domiso Rodriguez.
Yes, that is correct. And we were having conversations about it, and we were having conversations in terms of it being in like 2-3 years, this thing. And I called him and said, how about in a month? And he said, great. And here we are. So it was in the works, but not directly in the works, but it ended up. And in 30 days, we packed our bags, and here we are. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, some of the collaborations that you're doing, can you tell us about?
Well, we're in conversations regarding a further marriage between the two of us. I'm not necessarily talking about the two organizations becoming one, but how we can win from each other. What do they have to offer? I think mission-wise, Artist Repertory Theater and the mission we have for our students is very in sync, if you will. So there's a lot of things in the conversation. We are, next year, we're bringing our, the plays will be done here, which is great. There's possibilities of collaborations with our students and some of ART's season, so that students may have the possibility of being able to gain their equity card or points, if you will, towards their equity. And so more collaboration, direct collaboration, instead of just space collaboration, is in the works. Nothing's on, you know, nobody signed on any dotted line or anything yet, so I don't want to speak for Artist Rep, but we are in the conversations about how we can mutually benefit for each other. We're also in the process of getting our MFA certification, so accreditation, so that's happening too, which will up. I think every great conservatory is connected with a great Lort Theater. And so, you know, much like ACT is that way in San Francisco. They have a conservatory and connected to a Lort Theater. So it's a real draw for students, for sure.
Well, in many ways, then, the silver lining is that it has moved Portland Actors Conservatory. This unexpected loss of space has actually moved it into a next level of creation.
Yeah, and to us, the only downside is one less space for artists to work, because there's so many of us and so few spaces. I think that's also with IFCC too. It's like, what are they doing with that space, and how can we, you know, we are an asset to this city. And when I say we, I'm talking about all artists. I think a great city defines itself by its culture and what they support and what they believe in. A strong culture leads to a strong city. It's smart business sense.
So Portland City Council and the mayor pay attention, right?
Yeah, exactly. I believe that arts and culture has now under a fish, I believe, on the, which I think will indeed make a more positive difference, I'm hoping.
So we'll tag Nick Fish to this interview.
Yes, please do. Please do. Yeah.
So here we are at the Artist Repertory Hub, and I'm you know, but you are performing plays at the Shoebox Theater.
The Shoebox this year, yeah. When we first moved in here, there wasn't space available for us. It was all booked because there's so little space.
It was so sudden, too.
Yeah.
But honestly, I have to say, I've been to both productions so far. They were Marisol and All My Sons, and they were just wonderful productions, Beth.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we hope we marry what is expected in the professional world. Those are some pretty trained students that are up there, and their work makes me proud, too, and it's very multicultural, which also is so a part of our belief system and how we define ourselves and our humanity.
Has that been progressively moving towards more multicultural, more multiracial casting? Because honestly, I've been very impressed this year and last year with I guess the more diversity that you've had with the students who've been enrolled.
Well, it's in our value system. All voices should be heard in different angles, in different places, in different ways, so that one of the things I loved about All My Sons is that it was done very multiculturally, and to hear that language through different voices opened that show up to me in a way I'd never heard before. And I've seen All My Sons lots of times, and I felt like I was hearing new things. You know, to have a Spanish mom made it really...
And a black father.
I mean, it just, the lyrical nature of the play came alive to me that I hadn't really heard before. And it's like, yes. I mean, we didn't do it to make a statement. We did it because that's what we believe in. Who are our artists before us, who can do these roles? But what they brought to the table shifted how I saw something.
It just made it more reflective of now.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And thank goodness the Arthur Miller estate is a lot more inclusive than the Edward Albee estate, which we won't talk about, but that kind of casting would not have been allowed.
Exactly. You don't have to ask Arthur Miller if you can please, please, please put people of different cultures and color in their play. Ridiculous.
So, do you find that the students are becoming, you know, you're getting more and more people? Where are your students coming from?
Everywhere. Yeah. That's one of the great things when we move to a national organization with accreditation, our auditions are held all over the country. So our ability to draw different people of color and diversity and shapes and sizes expanded. So, and in that way, I think we're also affecting the culture of Portland because a lot of those actors stay. And so then you have a richer pool to draw from because let's face it, Portland, Oregon is really, really white.
Yeah, and it's been progressively more white in the last 10 years, actually.
Yeah, I know, right? And enough of that.
So that's great that you're actually helping to change the racial landscape here, too.
Right. Well, it is our hope that not only are we pushing our own landscape and the culture, that that our students are shifting it as well. So, yeah, couldn't be more proud of that kind of thing.
Well, let's talk about your next production because the last two were phenomenal. And the next play you're doing is The Good Kids by Naomi Izuka. Mm-hmm. And you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it deals with campuses. This one specifically takes place on a high school campus, and it's about sex crime on campuses and social class and entitlement and...
Sounds very timely.
Oh, it's really interesting. It was chosen because it's been timely for me for a really long time, and a lot of us women it's been timely for a really long time. But Me Too happened after we chose the play, so it now even feels deeper to me because there's an awareness that wasn't there before and a curiosity that was not there before. And so it's really, really interesting to work on. It's great. You know, I'm not a huge believer in political theater, if you will. I'm a big believer in good theater that may be a part of what it does, but it doesn't have to be. You know, I'm not a messaging person. We try to live it instead of preach it.
Well, it sounds like a great selection, too, for students. It sounds like
absolutely.
It's a lot of young roles.
Yeah, a lot of young roles, things that relate to them in a really clear way. And what's really great at the conservatory, these kids, like I say, come from everywhere. So the ability to speak for them to bring their own culture or specificity to, because it speaks for everywhere, but regionally things can be really different, and so it's been just a really thrilling experience for me and for them.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I'll give the show dates a little bit later.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, you know, what do you hope for the future? It sounds like, you know, there are a lot more options for you right now.
There sure is. You know, I keep saying, you know, I will quit when it stops feeling exciting, and it always feels like this has presented a new gift to the conservatory in terms of our growth and where we want to go. And when we stop doing that, I'll quit. So that, but right now it feels new, and that's always really exciting as we pursue our MFA accreditation and our collaboration with Artist Repertory Theater and how we continue to define ourselves, that continues to feel like it's expanding. And that's really exciting for me. It makes me feel more alive every morning.
Well, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, but I always think about, like, the next chapter or the third act or whatever, not chapter, the third act. And so, you know, life becomes a little bit more precious. So you really want to think about how you want to spend the rest of your years, right?
Exactly.
So do you
right.
think about that?
Yes, absolutely. This is the phase I'm in right now, work versus, you know, how I want to spend the rest of my life. I want a dog. Because I realize it may be my last dog. So that's a sidebar. But one of my goals is not just how I'm living this experience at the conservatory right now, but I know that my next mission is to pay forward something. I do not have founder syndrome, which whatever that may be. A lot of people say, oh, it's just hard to let go. You don't want somebody else to have it. You're the founder. I've never had any of that. It's always been built for the future. It's always been built to pay it forward. And I want it to be really, that's my next mission, to give it a place and go, here you go. Open it up. It's such a pretty gift.
And what a gift to the community, Beth Harper. Thank you so much for this interview and for all the years that you spent building this up. I mean, you have really committed to this and really made something special happen with Portland Actors Conservatory.
Oh my gosh, you're going to make me cry. Thank you so much. That's nice.
Well, a lot of times people don't get thanks, so.
It's true.
Especially
it's
women.
True. Yeah, especially women. Yeah, well, I sometimes say the reason I have this job is because I gave it to myself. No guy was going to hand it to me, that's for sure.
And let that be a lesson to all women and people of color in general, right?
Yes,
because
exactly.
That's what you have to do.
That's exactly what you have to do. And you have to set the bar and tell somebody else to step up. Do it.
Okay. Well, what a bar. And
so
now we will retire to the bar. Thank you so much, Beth.
That sounds lovely.
That was Artistic Director Beth Harper of Portland Actors Conservatory. Their next production is Good Kids by Naomi Izuka, directed by Beth Harper. Good Kids is about a high school party that goes horribly wrong. It's an exploration of multiple perspectives in the aftermath of a sex crime and its cover-up. So topical. The show runs April 13th through the 29th at the Shoebox Theater. That's located at 2110 2110 Southeast 10th Avenue in Portland. For tickets, visit pac.edu. And you can get that info as well as a podcast of this interview at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Next up, I feature Gambate, Be Strong, an important piece about Portland's history with Japanese-American internees who returned after World War II, right after this short break. We just heard another piece by David Iwataki from his CD of soundtracks from two films about Japanese American internment, Harsh Canvas and Infinite Shades of Grey. That song was called Camp Daze, D-A-Z-E. With me in the KBOO studio is Jenna Yokoyama, a voice you've heard on the KBOO News and Pacific Underground. Hello, Jenna.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing today?
Good. Welcome to Stage and Studio as a guest.
I know. It's strange to be on the other
Isn't
side.
Isn't it always weird to be interviewed
it
when
is.
You spend so much time interviewing other people? It's like, now what?
It gives me a lot of respect for the guests.
And what they go through, right?
Yes.
So we know you here as a KBOO producer, but you're also an actor and singer. And for the last year, you've been involved in a production called Gambate, Be Strong, Stories of Japanese American Displacement and Resilience in Portland. And it was created by Chisao Hata and Nikki Najima Lewis. And Chisao Hata is a longtime performer and activist here in Portland. And this theater piece tells stories of Portlanders who came back from internment camps after World War II. Do you want to tell us a little bit more, back history about this piece?
Sure. So Gambate, Be Strong is mainly we'd like to say that it's a story about the Japanese American experience here in Portland. So it's a one act play, and this play actually starts all the way back to when that first generation of Japanese Americans first came here to Portland. We call them the Issei generation, the first generation. And so you see this journey of the Japanese Americans where it starts at the Isseis and then bringing their picture brides over and working on the railroads. And it goes all the way through the concentration camps of World War II, and then eventually culminates in the telling of the story of Japanese Americans in their experience with the flood at Vanport, which is just something that people don't often talk about when we talk about Vanport. I mean, here in Portland, it's already a story that is rarely told, the flood at Vanport. You know, people are very surprised that we had the city that no longer exists.
Except for the Vanport Mosaic Festival, which tells it every
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
But that's been a recent thing.
Yeah. But that whole education in the city that existed seems to be something that is a very kind of hush-hush story. And so it's great to see artists really bringing all these stories to the forefront. And Gambatte to Be Strong is one of those stories to tell, hey, here's a community that people didn't realize was part of that flood and what that was like for them to come out of these concentration camps where they had lost everything, only to lose everything again just a couple years later.
Well, one of the things that the Vanport Mosaic Festival does is that they have an exhibit of mm-hmm. photographs from the Vanport era and yeah. the Vanport itself. And one of those photos is of a class of school kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there are black kids, there are Asian kids, you know, and there are white kids, and they're all in one school together. And I believe they're taught by a black teacher.
Yeah, Martha Jordan.
Martha Jordan.
She was the first African-American teacher who was hired by Portland schools. And here she was, you know, someone who had really had such a strong influence, at least from the feedback we hear from the Japanese American community, of what it was like to be in Vanport. And they all remember Martha Jordan as this teacher who was so classy and so kind and really was able to bring this class together, where you had all these students who were coming together for the first time. You know, Portland was very segregated, and then you had white children and Japanese children and black children, Latino children. You had all of them coming together and being in this class for the first time.
It's a fabulous photo and such an inspiration for this piece, really.
Yeah, it really is.
And I understand that Giselle's developing this work
mm-hmm.
For the next Vanport Mosaic Festival.
Yes, in 2019.
And in 2019.
Yeah,
okay.
To be a more fully developed work. So in 2017.
Right, now, what year is this?
I know. I'm just flying by so fast. It's been such an interesting process. So in 2017, we did a stage reading at the Vanport,
right.
you know, Mosaic Festival, and now we're going to be doing it here at Lewis and Clark on April 14th, which is, if you saw it actually back at the Vanport Mosaic Festival, what you'll see on April 14th at Lewis and Clark is actually different, because this is constantly a work in progress.
Right.
So this time we're actually going to have Martha Jordan as a character.
Oh,
she's going to speak about her
experience.
Yeah, it's a wonderful process to see this story evolve. I really enjoy being part of it.
And it's living history, so it has to evolve, right?
Exactly.
So what is your personal interest in this work and the history of this work in Gambatte Be Strong?
Well, my personal just kind of fascination with it is because I'm Japanese American. I'm fourth generation Japanese American. So
what is fourth generation?
Fourth generation means that
Well, you're not Sansei, so what's the next?
So
name?
Now I'm Yonsei.
Yonsei.
So
that's
Ichini
right.
San
yes,
Yon
yes.
in Japanese.
Yes.
So I'm a fourth generation. So my grandparents and my great grandparents went to the concentration camps in World War II. I'm not from Portland, so this story isn't exactly mine, but mine was very, very similar.
Where did you originally grow up?
I grew up in Southern California.
Oh, okay.
But I hear my family's story so much in this, and this is fascinating as an actor, because I don't know if other people know, but Asian American actors often have a hard time being able to play your story.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. You know,
that's news to me. I'm being satirical
right,
here.
Yeah. I mean, I've been Chinese, I've been Korean, I've been
right.
generically Pan Asian.
And it's very difficult to get a role that actually fits your ethnicity.
Your story. Mm-hmm. And then when Chisao brought this to me and said, you know, you get to be a Japanese American telling the story about the concentration camps, I was fascinated, because I get to start off the play as being a picture bride, which makes me think of my great-grandmother, who was that.
Right.
And then I get to go all the way through all these stories of what it was to go to an assembly center. My family went to an assembly center, you know, where they were put in these livestock, you know, like camps.
Very much like here, where it was
the same
story. Exact story.
Exactly. And so it's very much all these characters that when I go on stage, I try to manifest different women in my family. And I feel the story coming through. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to go through that kind of emotional journey. I've learned a lot about myself.
There's something about, as an actor, to have that strong personal connection and representation, and also just being able to, you know, to honor
mm-hmm.
your relatives.
Yeah, and especially as a Japanese American.
And your history.
Yeah, we're constantly told as Japanese Americans to keep our history here in America silent, to assimilate and to just really love everything that happened to us. The concentration camps weren't concentration camps. They were internment camps, is what we're always told to, you know, be quiet. And so it's so great to not be quiet here and to tell the story and to be able to experience even a little bit of the pain.
Well, that's part of the safety mechanism for your children, because you don't want the effects of racism and, you know, outright violence against, you know, you don't want this to happen again to your children.
Exactly.
So of course they said to be silent.
That's why we tell the story. Yeah. And it's so great to have the opportunity to tell the story, because I think, you know, one of the most painful lines for me in the whole play is, I got the script right here. I'll read it to you.
Yes, please.
You know, on May 6th, 1942, Portland was declared the first city on the West Coast to be free of all people of Japanese ancestry.
I didn't realize it was the first.
It was the first. And Portland took such pride in that. And it's so painful to realize that, and to realize that we're still in that place. It might not be Japanese Americans now, but we're still hearing this type of rhetoric constantly in our society. So it's so painful to hear that. I don't know how much we moved on. Maybe we have, but the important part is to constantly tell the story, because we can't let that be a part of American pride to say that we were the first city to be Japanese free. I mean, it's just painful, but it's so important, I feel, for me as an actor at least, to feel that pain. And to have that part of my history, my own story, be real. It's so powerful.
Well, I know from working with Chizao Hata and the great playwright Nikki Najima Lewis, both of them, that they really love working with younger generations, because you have to continue the history and the stories. But what is it like for you to work with, you know, veteran, you know, Japanese American artists?
Gosh, it's so intimidating.
Is it really?
Because I love, you know, I know Chisao. I met Nikki through this process, and both of them are just so amazing and so creative and such powerful.
Well, they've been
people.
Activists on the forefront for many decades,
and they're just so inspiring and so. You know, as a Yonsei, we're constantly, as that fourth generation, we're constantly asking ourselves, like, how do we continue this story? How do we creatively get it out there so people will listen? And so it's just inspirational more than anything. And I'm just honestly just trying to bask in their glory.
I'm sure they're very thrilled to be working with you.
Oh, and they're so supportive. They're great.
Well, the plays are also followed by these really incredible, emotional, and I don't know, insightful, I guess is the word, just dialogues and discussions from survivors.
That's where all the dialogue comes from in the play. It's from actual interviews that Nikki and Chisao had done. And so all the words that you hear are the actual experiences of these people. I mean, these people are still alive.
And then they come to the productions and they talk.
They did a talk back at
and
our
people
first,
get to talk to them.
And they answered questions of what was that like to be a vampire. I mean, it's just been such an interactive, immersive experience.
What I love, too, is that it's just so respectful of the history, you know, and it's also respectful of this living history of the people who survived this. It's a great all-around experience, I think, for an audience who may not have this history as well.
Such a unique experience, too.
And what a way to learn. Mm-hmm. Gambatte Be Strong, Stories of Japanese-American Displacement and Resilience in Portland, created by Chizao Hata and Nikki Najima Lewis. The play is being presented by the Office of Diversity and Inclusion and the Graduate School Center of Community Engagement at Lewis and Clark, I believe, right?
At the Agnes Flanagan Chapel.
And the show date is Saturday, April 14th at 6 p.m. at 7:30 p.m. at the Agnes Flanagan Chapel at Lewis and Clark College. For more info, visit lclark.edu. And I have that link at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And I understand the piece is going to be presented, but not in this upcoming Vanport Mosaic Festival too, isn't it? Or is it just 2019?
Just 2019.
Okay, well, we'll work for it for 2019, but for now, go to April 14th. Jenna Yokoyama, thanks for joining me today, and break legs on the April 14th performance.
Thank you so much.
That's it for Stage and Studio. My thanks to engineer Judy Feistel. I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio, as well as on iTunes. You can like us on facebook.com/stage_the-letter-and-studio or tweet me at @stage_the-letter-and-studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts. We're going to go out with more music by David Iwataki from his CD of soundtracks from two films about Japanese American internment, Harsh Canvas, Infinite Shades of Grey.